It all has to do with my message. And this morning, I believe that it not only spoke to my heart, and this is some time ago, but what you're going to see after I read this verse of Scripture, to me, it challenged me a lot. And it also sort of jerked the slack out of my life a little bit, and I've been walking with the Lord a long time. But I believe that there's something that we have to see this morning that God wants to show us, and it all has to do with walking by faith. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. It's a long one. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I went through this young fellow's videos when I just happened to fall on him to see a couple of things, and the thing that captured me was the opening statement about this young fellow that described him. And I went through all of his videos, and it was almost like he became like I was a friend with this guy, this young fellow, because all the things that he was facing early on in life, all the challenges he began to face by life, God began to work through him, and my heart was really touched. I'll just let you take a look at the clip, and then I'll talk a little bit more afterwards. For Jesus, Sarah.
At Sheldon High in Sacramento, 14-year-old Ben Underwood is a freshman like all the rest. Well, not exactly. In his first week, many here haven't guessed that Ben has a secret.
Hey, good.
And you probably couldn't figure it out watching him in combat at karate class. Or hitting his mark in a pillow fight. Or zipping down the street on his rollerblades.
Did you get?
When you lost your eyes?
I was 2 years old, 2 weeks before my third birthday.
Ben had cancer in both eyes, but he discovered a way to beat his blindness.
I started clicking. I was like first, like, you know, I was like 6 years old.
He realized the clicking sound he made with his tongue bounced off things around him, giving him an idea what was there. Was it like seeing again?
Pretty much, yeah.
Ben says he can distinguish where the cars are as he cruises his neighborhood streets. Even though he can't see the basket he's aiming for, by listening for the distinctive echoes each makes, he can find the pole and backboard on a basketball goal and sink a basket.
It becomes easy to forget that Ben is blind.
That was luck.
How else to justify my pleasure when I put a couple of goals past him?
You thought you were so good.
I am good.
He is indeed. Ben beat me 5-2. Taking a walk with Ben, I was amazed at what he can see with his ears.
Well, there's a fire hydrant on the side and a car on this side. Wait, is that, no, that's a trash can or, that, hold on, let me see. That's a trash can. Yeah, that's a trash can. Or a recycling bin, one of those.
Yeah. Playing video games with his brother Isaiah in the assault of noise, Ben can figure out everything that's happening just by listening.
How can you even separate the sound?
Because they got different voices.
Nobody is going to tell him that there is an impossibility for him because there are none.
That doesn't give you any breaks because you're blind, does she?
Nah.
Why should he get a break? I can't get a break.
His mother, Aquanetta Gordon, insists he should have every opportunity, but no pity. But he's blind.
No, he's not. I mean, you know, to society he's blind, but that doesn't make him handicapped. He just can't see.
Ben has much the same talent as the dolphins he visited at SeaWorld, the ability to use echolocation, returning sound waves, to sense his surroundings. His clicks even told him to step around a fallen trash bin.
I don't know how you do that.
But the secret to Ben's success goes beyond his clicks. Your mother, Gwinetta, has always told Ben he can do anything.
Once he said to me, he says, Mom, man, I wish I could see. And then I said, well, Ben, but look what you can do. I said, if we had a blackout right now, everybody have to follow you.
Before I introduce you to Ben, we need you to please hold your applause so he can use his clicking to walk out. Please come on out, Ben, without any applause, and his mother, Aqua, with him. Hey, Ben, it's Oprah. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. There you go, right there. Have a seat. Hello, Aqua.
Hi.
Nice to see you, too. Welcome, Ben Underwood. You can applaud now.
Done. And he cannot see, but he has done amazing, astounding things. And he's been around the world. He had been around the world. As I went through all the video clips that I could find of him, there was one that came up. He was being honored at a Bible college. They're all Christian, by the way. His mom's a Christian as well. He's born again. They're all born again. And was being honored with all these different things. And then there was a clip that showed that the cancer came back, and he died just before, a few days before his 17th birthday. And I sat there at the screen. I thought, I have just lost a friend, an amazing young fella. But, you know, every single one of us have a gifting. And, you know, there's a natural faith that we have. Let me pick someone. I don't know that much. Now, come on. Brandon, come on up here. Good to see you again this morning, bro. Now, before you sit down, what were you going to do? Just come back here again, just from where Marianne is, and just come over here and sit down. It's not difficult. Now, do you know that that's faith? Because he really doesn't understand that the molecular structure and the atom structure of this thing, so there's more space in it that would just baffle your mind. But you, because you looked at it, it's there, and by faith, natural faith, you sat your whole weight down on a chair. That's really almost like a vacuum. Thank you. God bless you. Good to see you again. Faith is an incredible substance that we have in the natural. But the faith that I'm talking about this morning and the faith that the Bible talks about this morning is, it's a gift from God. God gives it to us once we're born again. We have the natural faith every time we live because we're people that can use our minds. We can figure things out. We can make things, if they do break, we can make them and make them work for us so that things, we can have faith to trust in something. The supernatural faith has to do with things that exist that we cannot see, that actually hold up things together that God has put in. There's the natural realm, then there's the supernatural realm. We do not have any faith in the natural to take care of matters in the supernatural realm with our natural faith. It's a supernatural gifting that God has given us, a faith that he's given us, that causes us to see things, gives us an intelligence, gives us an understanding, gives us sight to do things that if other people don't have that spiritual insight, they are going to fail every time. That's why you see some people that are not born again, well, everyone who's not born again, they have a tremendous amount of leverage that they can accomplish things in life. How many know some people here that you are just amazed at their lives, whether they're movie stars or they're actors or they're people that have gone into sports or whatever. Amazing things that people have accomplished. But that faith that they use to get where they are in the natural has nothing to do with the supernatural realm for them to tap into that. And so what that does to me, it makes me understand and think, if God has given me a gift right from heaven that's different from the faith that I had before I got born again, that makes me, it's not that we walk around, I'm special, but we walk around just like Ben's mom said, Ben Underwood's mom said, She says, well, what if we had a blackout? Everybody would be following you. That's exactly what the world needs to hear. And that's why you hear people, when they get to a predicament, they come to the very last of what they can take in life before committing suicide sometimes. The guy who led Len Minks, who was the song leader for Kenneth Copeland, and I think he's still doing the song leading for the conferences that they have all around the world, he was at a point in his life, he had a lot going for him. He had a voice, he had a lot of things he was looking at to do, but before he got a phone call, I'm not sure who it was on the Kenneth Copeland team, he had a gun to his mouth and was ready to blow his brains out. He came to the end of it. And someone gave him a little bit of hope, and the man has accomplished more since that time he gave his heart to the Lord, has accomplished huge things for God that took supernatural faith to make it happen. So it's really interesting, and I think when you realize this, I think this would make a person who's not a Christian say, I want to be a Christian, or if you're just sort of like bordering on, or you've backslidden, to get on with it, to see that you've got something special that God has done for you. God has given me something special in my life. God has given you something special in your life if you're a born-again Christian. And you can pass that on to other people. Let's take a look at that verse of Scripture. Probably the most important commodity or component that we've got as Christians. And again, I'll read the Scripture to back up what I was saying. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So that proves right there just what I was saying. That's backing up that the faith that we have as Christians is a gift from God. You go to the book of Genesis, way back at the beginning of it, and you see the first brothers, Cain and Abel. How many know that story? All of us heard the Cain and Abel story. What was the difference between Abel's sacrifice that he brought to God and what his brother Cain brought to God? The difference was there was a heart of worship in giving the best. Worship is stuff, it's not stuff that we're doing here, that this is only a small part of it, but it's a good part of it. The worship is what we do every day of our lives and what we give and offer to God with the attitude that we give while we're offering it. That's worship. That's worship. It's not just singing all this and doing all that. That's a small part of it. But when we are even by ourselves, and it's having that acknowledgement to God, bringing the gift of your life, bringing the gift of your heart, and placing it at God's feet, saying, Lord, this is my offering to you. That was the difference between Abel and Cain. Abel brought a gift that was so far exceeding what Cain had brought. I've done some study on Cain, and what he basically did was, and you can see this sometimes when you go to the markets, sometimes if you're buying things, sometimes whatever, different circumstances, some people will try to give you or flog off some of the least of the best that you got so they can still get some money, but they charge the same price. Isn't that true? Have you ever had that happen to you? Yep. I certainly did, man. I could name the car right now. That's one of them, not just cars. But the other thing is that when we, you know that somebody, when they give you something from their heart and they love you, they have an interest in you, and they give you the best, there's something that's different about that gift, isn't it? It just does something to the heart, and it also just releases. Well, that's exactly what that Abel did to God. He brought something to God that with that sacrifice, whatever it was on that day, exactly what God wanted. That's fine, but it was his heart attitude and the thrust that was behind him toward God that God looked at and honored Abel over Cain. God doesn't want your second best. Oh, I'll live a life and I'll, by the way, when I get older and it comes to the end, just before I die, I'll just say a prayer and I'll ask God to bring me up. Hello. Use your rearview mirror. What has God done for you all up to this point? Are the sacrifices that we have too extravagant to give to God? Are we flogging God off the least of the best that we've got, or trying to polish up the stuff that's tarnished and make it look good, but it's not the very best? You know, the best thing anybody could give in their lives, and especially I talk to the young people, I always say this, is your heart as a young person. And that's exactly what the devil's trying to get out of you. So you can't give it to God. And he throws all kinds of little detours and roadblocks. He does all kinds of stuff. And today we're living in an age, day and age, where there's just so much being thrown at young people, being thrown at this generation, young or old, that it's you need sanity. You need supernatural faith to walk, just like God says. It takes the God kind of faith to walk the proper way in this world so that you're not put out. A lot of people of the world, most people of the world think, well, I don't ever want to go to church because of the bad stuff that's happened, maybe to you or to other people that we hear about. And I never want to worship, and I don't want anything to do with God, because if I start going to church or if I give my heart to be saved, then there's so many dues that I'm doing that I won't be able to do the dues anymore. And I think to myself, well, oh my God, what are you doing that's so important to you? Let's just take a look at a couple. There's drinking and there's smoking. Those are the worst two arsenals that Satan has thrown to humanity. Look at the people. I'm just saying this now. I could be stepping on toes, but you can come and step on my toes later on. But it ain't going to change what God says. Are you offering God the best? There's more do's after you're born again than there are don'ts. And that's where the lie of the devil comes in. He makes people think, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And, well, some of the things that you want to do and can do are the very things that are killing you and the very things that are shortening your life and the very things that are contrary to the purpose that God has written in your heart for your destiny. Tough question to answer, but each of us have to answer that question. What are we giving God? And are we giving it by faith? Enoch was a man, it says that he walked by faith. Noah was a man who worked by faith. We're going to look at this stuff really quick. And again, for Abel, I'll just wrap up Abel's life in a sense, in a negative way of looking at things. If you don't believe in someone or have faith in someone, you're not going to give anything to that person. That's also in a relationship. Do you really love the person that you're with? Husbands and wives, do you love your spouses enough? And only you can answer that behind the doors of your house, anywhere you go. Do you love your spouses? Or your spouse, rather. Yeah, here we go. You know, Enoch, he teaches us, there's another dimension of faith that he teaches us. It's to walk by faith. And, you know, just because just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're going to walk on a road of roses and really nice places to go to. Walking by faith means you walk. And walking is one step at a time. Sometimes when you're walking, how many people here that are a little bit older that's been through a little bit more life know that when you're walking by faith, there's sometimes you sweat because you're expending energy, and sometimes you start to stink because you're going through things, but you're going through things. If you don't believe that there are times that you sweat, I'd like to encourage anyone here just to walk home from this place instead of taking your car and let me know what you feel like when you get home. You'll be sweating if it's not that close. Well, Cheryl, forget it. I have to bring a can of Right Guard for myself or Rexona for me by the time I get home up that mountain. Yeah, I know. We'll pray for you later. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, too, is that when you're walking by faith, Enoch, He had problems and setbacks that he was facing, even though he had the faith. He had human reaction. Sometimes I think the connotation of people when they look at Christians is like they're robotic. You know, anything that comes along their way, there's great tolerance. You know, and there's all these things, and they don't react to anything. Look at when you are thrown in life, life presents, life is life. It's full of things every day that come your way, things that are thrown at you, the expected things, and the things that are not expected. It's the things sometimes that are not expected are the little clangers that cause you to walk by faith and sweat. It's to cause you to have a reaction. Is there anything wrong with having a reaction? Let me tell you something. In the past times, I have looked up to God with anger. Where are you, God? What's going on? I've given my life for you. I've done this, I've done that. And all of a sudden, I hear this little voice, this quiet voice just spread over me and say, take a look in your rearview mirror. I reacted. Has anyone here reacted when things were not going right? Just can I see? If you don't put your hand up, you're lying. What about if you're not born again, you still react to things in life, don't you? You certainly do. There's things in life, as a Christian, you will react to them. But the balance in saving grace is, it's the faith that carries you to the other side, man. I tell you what. How many here know what I'm talking about? So, Noah, let's take a look at Noah very quickly. Noah shows us there's a third dimension, and this is where I want us to think about this young fella, young Ben, not even 17 years old, and the Lord took him. Well, had the plan for him in spite of all the circumstances. One thing, if you want to look him up, there are video clips of this young kid after he started going through chemo. And some of the, I think he didn't go through it a lot because he just felt that this is enough. He says enough is enough. And you can see this young fella just sometimes crawling up on a sofa, and he'd stay there for sometimes hours and hours, and that's what the doctor said the scenario would be. And then eventually one day he would not wake up. But right to the end, his mom kept on encouraging him as best she could. Until one day she broke. She used to cry, but before she cried, she'd go up in her room so he couldn't hear her, she thought. He had really good ears. And she used to scream and wail and cry, God, my boy, my baby boy, my boy. And not long before he did pass away on the bed that he was at the hospital, his mother said, I used to always hide when I was seeing you in the despair that you were. And I used to cry, and a lot. I used to cry and scream. He says, yeah, I know. I used to hear you. Then she is crying. And he says, Mom, you don't have to cry. I know where I'm going. At the time when he was departing this earth, just before he took his last breath, he knew, he said, I know where I'm going. And there's a piece of God you can see on this young lad. I want to meet him one day, man. I tell you what, just to shake his hand and just give him a big hug, man, because he has transpired faith into something that people could see even through the... In fact, why don't we just try that so we don't forget this today? Just everybody on the count of three, give us a couple of clicks. And don't worry about the person next to you. They're going to be clicking too. Ready? One, two, three. Just think of that next time when your eyes are closed. Walk by faith is the same way. The word of faith hits the word. Faith hits the objects that are there to make you stumble where you cannot see them and other people cannot see them. But God has a way of causing you to hear it and to see it in the supernatural so you can walk around it and you don't stumble. That's no wonder why God says he doesn't cause our feet to stumble. Even if we do, he picks us up. How is that? You can't get any clearer than this young fella that did it in the natural. And it caused me to see the supernatural, what he was doing, just by clicking. faith. Click your faith out. Click your faith out. Click your faith out when you walk every day. It says, the just shall live by the God kind of faith every day. A walk in life is a walk every day. We're all in the same process, in the same process. So Noah walked by faith, and his faith caused him to have intelligence that other people around him that were doomed did not have. We can take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, there it is, in the supernatural coming, moved with godly fear or reverence and belief, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is accomplished according to faith. His intelligence was highlighted. His intelligence was increased. It was brought to the forefront, like things that he had never seen and expected before. And it was around people. I heard one guy describe Noah while he was a preacher of the gospel while he was building the ark. It took him 120 years. That's a lot of preaching, folks. And all the days that he was out there building the ark and preaching to the people about repent, there's a destruction coming. You're going to drown if you don't. They were laughing at him, just like they do other pastors. I've been laughed at as other Christians. Maybe you've been laughed at by other people. But you know what keeps me going? Just what this fella said when I looked at what happened. He gave a description of Noah. All the days that Noah was building the ark, it was a trauma for him, not so much building the ark, but realizing all the people that he was preaching to were already dead because the destruction was coming. And it says the whole world was flooded and everybody perished except, and if you go around all the cultures, all the cultures know this, they've got it written in their history, the eight, is that right? The number eight, Noah and his sons. Hey? Yes, new beginnings. It's exactly what it was. Our whole life is a number eight. It's the new beginnings in Christ. He lives within us. And so we have new beginnings every day when we walk by faith. So Noah being warned of things not yet seen. God will tell you of things not yet seen. For your safety, for your knowledge, but also for the people that you're working with sometimes, or that you're going to school with, or other people that somehow you can be going down the street and the Holy Spirit of God would just say, talk to that person. What? I don't even know the person. Talk to that person or pray for that person, because only the Holy Spirit is able to cut into the heart of a person to deliver such a message that causes them to see things of their condition, and then they'll repent and get on the right path. So looking at all of this, you know, Noah came over all these obstacles when he was building that ark and God was faithful to his word. You know, young Ben Underwood, the whole life, the short life that he lived, he overcame obstacles. He played basketball. And there's another thing of another clip they show. He'd be going down the street on a skateboard. And go right in between cars and onto the curb and on the sidewalk, the footpath, and keep on going. How could he do that? Echo. Faith. While we're walking, man, he played, like I say, he played basketball. He played all these different kinds of sports. He played something, those computer games that the guy that was there doing the filming on his story was baffled. How can you sit there opposite the TV looking and just feeling things? How do you know what to do? He says, well, the voices on the screen are all different. So he was waiting. He wasn't making clicking noises. He was listening to the voices. Sometimes we have to do that too, don't we? To stay champions. So he came all these different obstacles, and man, I tell you what, his brother in one of his clips said, you know, I didn't know at first he was blind, because his brother was younger. He came up after him. He said, I didn't know my brother was blind, but then I realized he was blind, but he's just like me. He just does things, everything like I do. Ben's intelligence was heightened. On the footpaths of the street, playing basketball, playing games, playing computer games, all these different things. James 2:6, we're just about finished. But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not, no, that is wrong. James, is that James? I got the wrong one. Has to do with faith. Anyways, we'll let that go. It has to do with faith. Well, not. Hey? It might be chapter one. I'm not sure. Yeah, can you quickly take a look? See if I can beat you. Wait a minute. Oh! James 1. There it is. Yep. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he doubts. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. When you go home, you start doing that clicking noise, your spouses or your kids will say, what's wrong? She's been to church, man. He's been to church. They're going crazy. So again, I just, this young fella astounded me. But you know what astounds me even more? Is he... This young fella caused me to look up and realize in a even greater perspective of how wonderfully God has put us together, how he's made us in his image. And even if a part is missing, there's a way that God is able to get around and give you intelligence so you can make it work. You can make life work. Amen. Praise God. Nothing will be impossible. Before we leave, and before I finish this message, can I ask you one more time? Let's do a couple clicks. Ready? One, two, three. Try that when you go home at night. Walking around. Don't walk real fast, but just try it, man. All right, God bless you. If there's anyone who... would like some prayer or anything like that. If you've never made the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I'd love to spend some time with you and make that happen. Otherwise, be blessed. Have a great afternoon. And keep a clicking for Jesus.